B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Fourth down and six for the Patriots. Shotgun snap to Brady. Backs up. Moves up. Tom pumps. He's going to run it left. An open road to the 20. Brady to the 15. Into a slide. First down run.
Giddy up.
At the Kansas City 12.
Like Jerry Trupiano said, get on his back, boys. Get on his back.
That's your buddy. I wanted to take his line. I don't know why it popped in. Just like get on his back, but I couldn't steal from Troop.
That's good. You gave credit.
Yep. He earned that one, man.
That's appropriate.
That's a hell of a call by Troop.
Like, why are you saying Troop?
Because he had the call, man. I just organic. Get on his back. Oh, that's Troop right. Had it.
Not yours.
That was a hell of a run by him, though. Better than the one last week.
That was good.
Like, he looked quick on that. Like, he shot out of there. That was fourth down, too.
Whew. Huge play. Belichick. Dude, demonstrative Belichick. On the sideline. Yeah, loved it.
I've never seen Bill like that. After a big play, like, I've never seen Bill like he wanted that because he's just you're fighting the team, you're fighting the refs, you're fighting everything at that time. That was a big one. Right there, you thought, boy, they're going in. They're going in.
Nick is in the car. He says Bill Belichick did not have a good night. Hi, Nick.
Hey, guys. Great show as always.
What's up?
I think as easy as it would be to blame the refs, I hate when guys and teams do that. I think last night was kind of a taste of what it's like to have a head coach from the rest of the league. Belichick kind of made some questionable calls, you know, questioning that call, the spot of the play, the spot of the ball.
What was wrong with that one? He doubled down on that in his conference call today. He said, we thought we had that one.
I mean, I get it. They gave him an extra yard. You could see he barely made the line to gain, which I think was the 39-yard line. They spotted it at the 40, which was terrible. But I think it was just too close of a call to make to have them overturn. You know, you can see the angles that they get. That was terrible.
I would give them the Kelce non-call there because that happens all the time. Everybody runs pick plays and rub routes. That one was bad, man, because he didn't have control until he was at the 38.5, and they spotted that at the 40.
But, I mean, I think the worst call of all, and I mean, I'm a firm believer in when you play ball, you got to take the points and the yards that they give you. I was jumping out of my couch when they had nobody back there to catch that punt, which they lost, I think, 22 yards on. And, I mean, just go.
I'm with you on that one, man. I don't understand the concept of that. They've done that before this year. I think they only done it once or twice. I think it was Philly, the one I can recall. I don't understand that at all.
I can get it if they're on the 40-yard line, but you know the guy on average is going to kick a 50 to 60-yard punt. I don't know. I think last night, of all guys, if you're going to grade up and down on every guy across the whole team, I think Belichick's probably the worst guy from last night. And it was just a tough pill to swallow. You know, if he had made a couple of different calls, I think he could have potentially had us in there to at least go to overtime. You know, and it may have been a different play call that last set that we had of the game. If you're only chasing three, guys are a little calmer knowing they have three chances to get into the end zone rather than, you know, it's either score or go home. It puts a different mindset on the players. So, great show as always, guys. Right. I'll hang up and listen to the rest of the show.
All right, Nick.
Thanks for your input.
Thank you. Zoe's going to have to ask Bill about these things tomorrow when he sees him.
Yeah.
I think that's what he should do. What?
Yeah.
Just ask him about
it. I'm interested in this. Those two. Like, I can understand him saying, okay, we're not giving you Kelce's, but that spot's short.
More on Bill from an emailer, CB from Foxborough, who says, putting the sucky officiating aside, the reality of it is the team left a buttload of points out there, something they didn't do last season. Drop passes is the main culprit. Another thing they didn't do half as much last season in comparison to this season. Two different teams last year's and this year's on so many fronts. Yesterday, they went for it on 4th and 7 rather than taking the field goal and the points. And he says, okay, I understand potential points is what the coach is thinking at that point. went for the two-point conversion rather than just taking the PAT. Myers dropped one in the end zone. Lacoste dropped a pass in
the end zone.
That would
have been a tough catch, but
most probably would have snagged.
I think a Raven tight end would have caught that. Yes.
He says several drive-killing drops that undoubtedly would have helped them out, and failing to capitalize on turnovers several times. The play calling left much to be desired, and if they had called one more jet sweep that didn't work, I'd have freaked out. Looking at the big picture, in the words of Bill Belichick, we should never have put ourselves in the position to have a ref's bad call affect us. Had they made all the above-mentioned plays, odds are we would have won that game.
Probably could have overcame one, though. Not multiple.
Maybe.
That's the problem. Yeah.
Maybe.
But you knew second quarter, and I kept saying it. Regardless of who wins this game, this is a bad crew.
He goes on to say, we all stood there in the stands yesterday in shock. He's in Section 143, by the way, after all those lousy calls. But we also questioned some of the calls made by the team. Do they put the team in the best position to win the game?
I got a question.
He says, you got to be a realist. You're crying about the refs. Is like me. He makes a comparison to him as a chef.
Get it.
But he says on to Cincinnati regards CB.
I have a question.
What?
Okay, early in that game.
And by the way, I'm not blaming the refs for the Patriots losing. You're not blaming the refs for the Patriots losing.
No.
But the refs were god-awful.
Point is,
they're worth talking about, regardless of the outcome of the game.
If it's Arizona at Vikings next week and he's assigned to it, they should not ref that game.
Yes.
This has nothing to do with New England, Kansas City. They should not ref anymore. They shouldn't. This isn't a rogue single game thing. His crew's terrible all the time. In over their head. Lack of communication. $16 billion industry. Get it right. Mohamed Sanu early in that game, outside, looked like he was going to be involved, right? Then just sort of faded.
He wasn't out there. I haven't been able to go back and watch the game. I haven't had time yet.
Here's my question.
Third downs, he was not a part of the team.
Here's my question. Okay, so it's high ankle, which is a bitch to come back from. I don't want to say guess wrong on this one, where maybe he's okay in the walkthroughs during the week. I know he was in pads. He practiced. Did they say, you know, maybe we'll conserve him a little bit in practice and come game time, he's going to be good? And then all of a sudden, at game time, he's not good. You see what I'm saying from a health standpoint? And that sort of cripples you a little bit on offense because you spent so much time implementing the game plan that you're going to become dependent on him a little bit, especially if they're going to double Edelman, like they did a little bit in this game. So now once you start doubling Edelman, you kick outside to Sanu or the next guy. You get Cincinnati this week. I'd think about potentially sitting him down to get him right for running it out and getting through and get a carry up and running in Cincinnati. You see what I'm saying? Like protecting Sanu. I know he wants to play, and veterans tend to maybe go if they shouldn't. Maybe him going hurt the team. And then you plan all week to have him, and then all of a sudden, boom, you don't. I don't know. That's what it looked like to me. Looks like he can't explode or cut. But then you put him back there on punts, too. And then you didn't on the one. I mean, something to think about. Because you have three games you got to get here. Should be able to go to Kansas City, win without him, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
You're not at Dallas.
Kansas City is terrible. We'll get to the sounds of Sunday coming up at 12:50. More your reaction to last night's game coming up next.
By one desire.
Ronnie Harrison, Chris Sims, Football Night in America last night.
Soon
NBC.
How soon they forget, huh?
What?
But if they teed up some of their tapes from last year at this time, I bet there's some, where the hell's Gronkowski? Like, it's like the exact same time. Miami loss, and then the Pittsburgh loss.
Miami 1 year ago today.
Wow. We were saying the same thing. Like, what? They still didn't figure things out. They had no identity a year ago today.
Well, that's what Sims' point was. I think the Rodney point's a good one. They can't just line up and beat good teams right now. They haven't done it.
Fact.
What's their best win?
It's a good question. Buffalo. Okay. Buffalo, I think being down in Philly with the conditions, you know, windy, cold, tough environment, you're down in that game, came back and won. At that time, we're thinking Philly's a good team, desperate team, fighting for first place in the NFC East, which is just a crap division right now.
Great. Is Philly a good team? I don't think Philly's a good team. I
thought they were a good team at that time.
Well, but we were wrong.
Yeah, but this is what we do. We readjust our expectations every week. It's a crazy league.
That's fine, but reality tells you that they're not a good team because they haven't been all year. They're a mediocre, middle-of-the-pack team. They're not a good team.
See, Ravens beat you. Ravens beat San Francisco. Ravens beat Buffalo, obviously, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Tough, ugly win. Those are tough ones. Those are ugly on the road. Still do it.
You think Cowboys win's a good win? I mean, they're a playoff team.
No.
No, I don't think it's a good win. I mean, it's not a bad win. I shouldn't say
it's not a bad win. At least you won. You don't lose at those type of games at home, right?
When I say good win, I mean, you think you're proving anything with that win?
No. I mean, Kansas City.
You think you're proving anything with the win over Philly? In the big picture?
And Steelers are too
early.
Does
that prove anything about this team?
Mm-hmm. That's tough, too. Like, how do the Texans do what they did at home yesterday?
I guess the good news for the Patriots is they've beaten the Steelers and the Bills, and they're both playoff teams in the AFC. It's good. Do you know what that puts the Patriots as?
2-3.
That puts a team that's right in the middle of the AFC.
Yeah. That's what you are right now. You're right there in the mix for the one of those top teams on that second tier.
The Ravens, Texans, and Chiefs are all teams that have beaten the Patriots. Yeah. And so they're in that middle, bottom half of the playoff teams in the AFC.
What if they win ugly that's, next three
it's
games?
Good. I mean, it's not a bad spot to be in, but.
So say they went out ugly. Like, same offense, defense carrying you, make a play or two on special teams, block a kick here or there, ended up 13-3, and you have the bye.
Like, did the offense get better?
I think the offense was better yesterday.
Yeah. Marginally.
I thought they played with purpose, a little bit of purpose. Yeah. The problem was third down. 2 for freaking what, 10? 2 of 12, whatever that was. That was ugly on third down. Tell you what, I mean, and I know we love Dante, and Dante coaches his ass up with that offensive line. I mean, I don't understand how the line's not playing better on the right side. Mason Cannon. Like, you should be able to line up, help protect the center a little bit, put a guy in motion.
How's
Wynn
been?
Not great.
Yeah, not great.
It's the block on that slip screen out to the left.
Tadlin?
How many times did Brady
get out there?
Pardon me?
Ask Frank Clark
from the Chiefs.
Well, yeah. He didn't say his name, though, did he? Did he use his name specifically?
Both their tackles, he said.
Oh, both their, That's how he put it. Yeah. Both their tackles. Yep. He said both their tackles were not so great yesterday. And it's hard for me to disagree with him.
Quote, they don't have a tackle that can block us. Speed, power, whatever we were throwing at them, they couldn't handle.
That's Daly. That's a good job by Daly.
He's not wrong.
And that's the thing, too. Daly knows your issues. He's coached here. He's been in meetings.
Oh, he knows. It takes a lot to know that, oh, the Patriots can't block.
Yeah. All right, here's their weakness in this protection. Here's where they can't slide.
When
we do this, they're going to make this check. I'm telling you to slide. So what we're going to do is we're going to run a game right into it. I'd love to know how much they baited you into it. Some of those slide calls. Took advantage of having Ferentz in there. Smart. Kick Jones down inside right over top him. Longest defender they have. Kid's pretty good.
617-779-0985. Vinny's in Framingham. Thanks for hanging on, Vinny.
Hey, guys. How are you? What's up, Zoe?
Hey.
Hey, Zoe. Let me ask you something, Zoe. You're a former football player. How old is Sonny Michel?
How what?
How old? Is it like, he's like 25?
How old?
20,
gotta be what? 20 now? 20,
no,
24.
He's 24.
24?
Yeah. So does that look like he's like 37 right now? He has no burst at all. Like when yesterday, like James White has been in the league for like 4 or 5 years now. His runs, he has more burst than Sonny Michel. It's kind of amazing me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you see a burst. I saw a little bit out of Harry yesterday. That was a burst around the end.
Got a bad knee.
Why can't you have more of that? Maybe that's it. When do you have surgery? In the summer?
Yep. Second year in a row.
Yeah. I said, that's a guy who gets better the more you give him the ball. Put him in for 9 plays.
Give him 5 carries yesterday.
Yep, you're good. Sit down.
Used him early, and then he disappeared. Same as last week.
I understand what he's saying about the burst, though. You see, you give the ball to, like, Zeke, and nothing's there, and he gets up the middle, and right around the end.
Al's in Ludlow. Hey, Al.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Hi, Al.
I was wondering, why can't they, like Zoe said, it's a multi-billion dollar company. Why is it that we have to count on the eyes of referees when the cameras film that whole stadium? Like last night, the guy that's supposed to be watching Henry around the pylon is busy looking up the other side of the field.
No, no, he pointed. He thought 3 feet in front of him.
He's pointing up the other end of the field, Zoe.
No, he's pointing at the 3, Al.
He's pointing at the spot.
He said he. This is the problem too. He's 5 feet from that, and he couldn't see that he didn't step on the white.
That is
defibrillator. Clear.
This is becoming a trend, by the way.
What?
Calling Nikhil Harry Henry.
He called him Henry.
Henry.
Yes.
The guy last night.
Guy
at
last
the post
night
game,
did.
I heard.
I just
Henry.
When you see him enough, you get a little confused.
I don't know about you, Henry.
Mike. Listen, he plays 2 snaps a game. Know his name?
Yeah. Mike is in Maine. Mike,
the big snaps.
Maine show. Got a Maine caller now.
Hey, how you doing, Brad?
Hey, pretty good.
Hey, Brad. Hey, Zoe, you look pretty buff there.
Huh?
Huh?
You look pretty buff in your old school attire.
Thanks, man.
Hey, I got a question for you guys. You know, we're talking about the officiating last night and passing. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. Hey, the pass needs some work. They need some help at wide receiver.
Yeah.
You know, there's definitely some work to be done there. But as far as the officiating just last night, this has been going on for the entire season. I've been watching football since 1963, and I have never seen – it's almost getting to be like the WWE. More and more people talk about this, you know, football – billion-dillion industry starting to become like...
Yeah, billion-dillion, yes.
Wrestling.
Do you listen to our...
it's not fixed. You think it's fixed?
The podcast, our wrestling podcast?
You think it's fixed? You think that's what's going on last night?
No.
Or do you think they're just terrible?
No, this is the NFL not taking care of what they could have taken once that strike happened, and guys wanted more money, they want more benefits. But no, we're not going to give it to you. So you're going to continue to do your work, continue with your jobs. Sterator, you're going to be your brother's assistant at the sanitation business.
Do you know what I need? Do you know what I think it might be a problem? Is that they're not recruiting, and they don't have the best collection of guys that do this job in the country, in the NFL. That there's not enough focus, and there's probably not enough money spent in the league to really figure out who are the best officials at reffing high-level football games. That's what I'm not sure they're doing.
Here's
what's the process
too,
for that?
There are good young guys like Brad Allen, Ron Torbert, John Parry, who does some of the TV. Like, they're good referees in this game that I've seen work games. Even Tony Corrente, I think, has gotten better, where 3 years ago I thought he was butt-awful. And it's almost, I think he had a health scare, and he bounced back, and he looks good. Corrente's been on a nice little run here. You know, call, as far as, and even Bill alluded to, like, yeah, he calls a pretty fair, clean game. But this is just obviously horrendous scheduling. Your marquee, one of your marquee match preseason, regardless of who you knew was going to be healthy or not, Kansas City at New England. Guess what? We're CBS. We're the head of CBS. We're protecting that freaking game. Nance, you and Romo.
Do you know how old Tony
Plan on going there.
You know how old Tony Corrente is?
He's up there.
He's 68 years old. Do you need a 68-year-old guy officiating your games?
I'll take him 10 out of 10 times over Bogert. He runs circles around Bogert.
Yeah, I don't know. Would you rather have a younger coach or Belichick, though? I mean, he's that age, too.
Well, no, I think they're very different jobs.
But if he's good at
officiating and coaching the game, officiating, you've got to have speed.
Then that
you've
got to
have great eyes.
Too. But if that guy
you've got to be able to mentally keep up with that in a very fast-paced environment.
If you grade out well and your crew's good and you communicate well, I don't have a problem with Corrente officiating games.
I don't think Corrente is very good.
Remember Walt Coleman late in his career, all those guys, Jeff Triplett. Then they fade out. But they could still, as long as you have a good crew, and you're pointing to him. Sterator was
this is my point.
Crew.
There's no one better in the country than 68-year-old. Like, there's not another crop of officials. that should be taking over at this point?
I haven't seen him.
Jim watches a lot of football. Ask Murray. Murray watches bad football.
They all seem bad.
I didn't see every single play of that San Francisco-New Orleans game. They said there were problems there again. What the hell happened in that game? People are bitching about the refereeing in that one. That was 48-46. Shootout. They're probably running up and down the field. Can't keep up.
Just a lot to ask of these guys. Jerome Boger, 64 years old, out there trying
I wouldn't have guessed he was that old.
But imagine, Zoe, you in another, 10, 15 years out there trying to keep up with the speed of that game.
Screaming at my crew. Shut up and play football, kid.
You'd have a tough time doing it now.
Yeah. The game moves fast, man. And the rules that have been put in, like this nonchalant hands to the face or the quick, and like if you periff that, like you got to call it, right? Like they called a phantom holding call on Kansas City's right tackle when Van Noy shook him out, but Van Noy lost his own balance.
Right.
And they thought, oh, he grabbed him.
Like so they're
just grabbing a toss, and you're like, you're periffing some of these flags, which is ridiculous.
They say this all the time. Well, yeah, you can't make it a full-time job because all these guys have other established jobs. Well, tell you what. Start working on the next crop of guys where there's an expectation that if you're an NFL official, this is what you're going
to
do.
Take him to Top Gun.
So that we can train and train and train all year round so that when you get to the season, you can have a ref who's, in his 40s instead of his 60s.
Yeah, Louth. You don't think Louth would love that? Okay. Lock him in a room, watch tape, and watch football rules all day?
It's such an antiquated notion that, oh, referees, they need to have full-time jobs. This is something they're going to do on the weekends, bring them in. Yeah, players used to have jobs too.
Right.
I mean, stop with that nonsense. NBA refs, baseball umpires, hockey refs.
Full-time jobs.
That's what they do.
That's their job.
This is a 9, 10, God knows what it is, how many billion-dollar a year industry, and you're part-timing the referees for these games?
What do you think the ratings were yesterday from a TV perspective? Oh. About households watching? Oh. Not even locally. I'm talking nationally. You're still peeking in. Like I'm peeking in on a Saints, Green Bay, or Saints 49ers game. It's a nightmare for this league to have that transpire what did yesterday.
Sounds of Sunday coming up at 12:50. You do not want to miss that. A good one on tap for today with a new song from Hardy.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Someday at Christmas, men won't be boys, playing with bombs like kids play with toys.
I like this
December,
song.
Our hearts will see a world where men are free.
What are we doing at Christmas show? What's our last day?
What is this? School?
No, I'm like trying
to think. Christmas show before you go on vacation.
I think our final show altogether before Christmas is next Friday, the 20th, right? Unless somebody's off that day.
No, we're good. Friday.
But we have a lot of stuff on Friday, so I
gotta go shopping before then. Gotta get stuff. At the liquor store.
That's the only thing I can really think of tradition-wise that happens on our last show together before Christmas.
Remember how drunk Feldman got in that one gym? Like, he's like, I don't drink. Like, we were drinking water, and he was shooting vodka.
At 10 o'clock in the morning?
I'm hammered.
Yeah. All right. Whoa. You go sleep for 4 hours before you drive home.
He was like, pushing buttons.
Oh.
He's in the other station. It's okay. We can talk about him.
Well, he's dealing with vacation already over at his station from what I
understand. Oh, they're gone.
So they get 8 weeks?
Yeah, their Christmas show was the day before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, they're off the
rest
of the year.
That's pretty cool,
though. let's go back to your call. Sounds of Sunday are coming up in just a couple minutes.
I heard Keith, we got a new song.
Keith is in Brockton. Hey, Keith.
Yeah, hey, Keith.
It's bad.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi.
I just want to make a comment about, I think we should have got Emmanuel over Michael. Concerning a fourth and fifth round pick over a second.
Michael.
Oh. Michael Sanu.
Muhammad?
Jim just said something in my ear that's really funny.
Between Nikhil Henry.
The air, Jim.
Michael Henry?
Who the hell's Michael?
The new receiver, Michael Henry.
Everyone's calling Mario Nikhil Henry. Henry all of a sudden. It even happened in the post game last night.
Well, how do you get Michael call from Muhammad?
Michelle.
He's Harry
Michelle.
And Henry, I get.
He's got to be thinking Sonny Michelle.
No.
No, he's talking
he
about.
He just said it.
He's talking about Sanu
versus Michael
Sanders.
Sanu.
That's what he's talking about. Did you see his touchdown, his 75-yard touchdown yesterday? Manuel Sanders.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he threw one, too.
Yeah, no, he's working out pretty damn well for
he looks electric for them. He does.
For San Francisco.
Boy, him and
the Pats got the wrong guy.
Debo.
Who?
Samuel.
They did. They got the wrong guy.
Kittle looks pretty good. Nice having a tight end to compliment the receivers.
Debo and Sanders versus Harry and Sanu. Same thing. One draft, one trade.
Yeah. Seven games for San Francisco now. 20, is that right? Seven games he's already been there?
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah. Sanu's been out for a while with the ankle.
God.
Yeah.
7 games, 28 catches, 407 yards, and 3 touchdowns since he got to San Francisco.
Seems low.
Wait. Because Sanu's first game was Baltimore, right? You're 8-0.
Yeah, 7 games.
Yeah.
He's played in 7 games.
Wow.
Receptions by game for him. 4, 7, 2, 3, 1. I think he may have left that game to look that up. But it was a blowout. 4 catches against Baltimore. 7 receptions yesterday on 9 targets. 7 for 157 and a touchdown. 75-yarder. That's what he had yesterday. Good second guess.
And he threw one.
Yeah, and yeah, that too. So he'd fit right into the trick plays that the Patriots are going to start breaking out every single game now. Be another guy they could throw. Pat's in North Quincy. Pat.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah.
I'd just like to talk about the offense for a second.
Talk about it.
Since we lost the fullback, the running game's yep. gone. So now we get...
no, I was told you could get any fullback to play fullback.
Was it there before, though, Pat?
Yes. With Sony,
yeah.
Yes. I mean, yes.
Yeah?
We had the running game going. And then now we lost the center, and we lost our backup center.
That's your biggest loss, I think. I really do. I think David Andrews is your biggest loss.
They're blitzing right up the middle now. Brady usually get pressure from the side. He'd step into the pocket and fire. Now they're making him move. And he can't run, you know.
You take your big middle threat away too. I mean, I haven't heard anybody bitching about Gronkowski again. You know, just kind of extending you, keeping you in limbo. Team scratches, you fight, you get to 8-0, and you're thinking maybe you're going to get some help from that guy at the end. Because this is how you plan the tight end position after him. Is this really the direction the tight end position was going after him? If you knew he was gone.
I don't know.
I just don't know how you let him float out there.
I just look at some of these rushing yards per game against teams that are halfway decent against the run. The most yards the Pats have had in any game this year was Houston. Before that, it was against the Redskins, one of the worst teams defending the run in the league.
I see no push up front.
No.
I mean, I know we look at the fullback, and I do think a lot of it is loss of Devlin and that, but if it starts with Andrews and it's that, the pyramid effect, you know, that domino effect outward. If you're that head goose and you're flying, man, and everybody else is following you, and you make that right call, and you're, you know, it's the tag block.
If your offensive line sucks, a fullback doesn't make a big difference. I'm sorry. Doesn't. Just doesn't.
Just thought it was like you put 5 guys, you coach them up, let's go. Unless that's just the talent at this group is just.
Sounds whew. Sunday or next. I don't think there are 3 words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's time for Sounds of Sunday.
It's Sounds of Sunday. It's Sounds of Sunday. It's Sounds of Sunday. It's Sounds of Sunday. It's Sounds of Sunday. It's Sounds of Sunday. It's Sounds of Sunday. Sounds of Sunday. Sounds Sunday. Sunday.
I warned you. Out of ideas.
Was this from Ren and Stimpy?
That's Tonight Show theme. Look, there's two ways of doing bad production.
It's got a little swing to it.
You can do it in 5 minutes on a Sunday morning, get on with your day, or you can spend a lot of time putting together a song and a lot of energy and effort and have it turn out bad too.
Hey.
We might have an example of that later on in the show.
What day?
Sunday.
Sunday.
Yeah, I did it yesterday morning.
Sunday.
Why don't you put it to this tune next week?
Here's the one to put in the pocket.
Sunday.
Like
sounds of Sunday. Sunday.
Sunday.
Sounds of Sunday.
All right. Challenge accepted.
What do we got?
Oh, I don't know. Sounds of Sunday, I guess. It's not here, Jim. Let me try this way. All right. Oh, Sounds of Sunday, by the way, brought to you by Honda Power Equipment and Harvard Outdoor Power Equipment in Harvard. Winner, it's here. So do what Zoe did.
Get
your home or business ready. Take winter head on with the Honda snowblower. See Honda's full lineup at Robinson's Ace Hardware in Framingham or Hudson, or Nashua Outdoor Power Equipment in Nashua. We begin. Something that's still in it for open by Jim. You got to close that thing, Jim. It's just extra work for me. We start on Saturday. Oklahoma Radio, final call of the Big 12 championship game. This is big.
Fourth and 20. Snap to Zito. Four-man rush. Back to pass. Under pressure. Flush. Right. Throws late. Down the middle. Incomplete. You can unhitch the wagon. Put the ponies in the barn. It is 2:42 p.m. Central Time. And Oklahoma is still the Big 12 champion.
I'm so happy for Jalen Hurts.
What does the time have to do with
it? I have a question.
Alabama and Tua out, Jalen Hurts in.
I don't get it.
Why is it that...
You put the pony in a barn.
First of all, I thought the hay goes in the barn.
No. Hay in the barn means we're ready. We're
ready. I said that. Ready, but...
Right. Somebody screwed it up last week.
Now you got to say pony in the barn? What does that mean?
Put the pony in the barn. Well, the little pony...
That means the day is over?
Means a mission accomplished.
Put the pony away?
Day's work is done. Get the damn horses in the barn. They got to go to bed.
Oh.
Pony's got to grow up. And then you have critters out there that would probably hunt the pony. Like a bear. You know, fox. The pony's really
the
little.
The pony's in the barn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why is it that when we play other calls from other places, it sounds like they were recorded on that same device I was using, Hardy, many, many moons ago? In fact, it was 15 years ago to the day today, that UMass call.
Boy, he knew that coming in, huh?
Yeah, no, I did. It's December 9th. Why does it sound like everything is bad? Like it's 2019. You should be able to
return football quickly.
Get an upgrade.
Oh. Today's 9th.
All right.
Oh, wow. We got football.
Yeah.
Let's move on here to 49ers Radio. This is the game-winning field goal by Robbie Gould. It just dawned on me, and I double-checked. Robbie Gould, also the name of the waiter from Dirty Dancing. That hooks up with
Robbie!
Yes, that's Robbie Gould.
Did we put the baby in the corner?
Well, Robbie didn't put the baby in the corner.
What was the song she was singing when she does the fly?
Hold on, I can't do it with the other song. Hold on. Song
She knows she does.
I'll do it.
Sister's up there dancing. Pay attention. Look at her. Yeah, it's the creepiest part of the movie.
They're going to put it right on the 20-yard line. It's a 30-yard field goal to beat the Saints in the Dome. Nelson will snap. Wisnowski will hold. Here's your football game. High snap. Wisnowski got it down. Robbie Gould's kick. Good! Robbie Gould beats the New Orleans Saints at the gun.
Wow.
It's... Gould, not Gold, I believe.
Wow.
He just calls him Gold.
Who's the mouth breather, Jim?
Whoever was filling in for Tim Ryan, who was suspended for a game.
Oh, God, that's right. Boy, Tim Ryan, you missed the humdinger.
Who's this hula hana of come on, I want a hula man. She will hula when you have a love that magic if she wants, you'll hear her say.
Sunday.
That was appropriate for the show.
What was the worst part of the movie?
That
when she did that, or when Patrick Swayze like flicked the hair and the he's doing the "I had my time, my life" dance.
There is no bad part of the movie. What are you talking about?
What about when you're carrying the watermelons up the stairs to the party? The
I carried
party.
A watermelon.
Poor doctor father. Oh. What did Rob be seeing her? All you do is put butter on plates. They put the butter on the plate. And what was the kid's name? Neil?
Neil.
The nephew?
Yeah.
Ooh, slime ball.
All right, let's move on to Dolphins Radio. Checking in on the Miami broadcast. 19 guys in the booth. They're about to attempt.
I don't know how they all fit.
Their eighth field goal of the game. Is this their seventh or eighth field goal of the game? It doesn't matter.
And here comes Jason Sanders, 6 of 7 on the day. The only one he missed was a poor snap and hold.
Under pressure.
He's been all but perfect.
What a couple of weeks it's been for him if he could top it off, huh? Get this one.
Response? Anybody?
You hear the background? Guys? Call the play.
Coming down.
Hello.
On me.
Waiting on the snap.
Hello.
Oh my
you
God.
Trying to, but what, greasy fall asleep? Four, five, six.
Good grief. All right, let's go to Pittsburgh.
Real quick.
Yeah.
What was Brian Flores chasing the ref? Like, there was a problem in that game, too. He went after the ref after the game.
Yeah, it was a bad PI call, like, apparently.
Oh, like he was going to kick his ass. That was a good one. Go ahead.
Mike Tomlin, right at the beginning of the press conference after the Steelers win.
Such is life, man. We're going to aggressively pursue victory.
That's it. We're good.
I don't need to hear anymore.
We're not going to softly go after the victorious victors of the sweet nectar.
That's
We will passionately attack and aggressively pursue victory.
Yeah, they're going to aggressively pursue victory there.
Such is life. What? What? Did we pick you up mid-sentence?
Well, I mean, you
this
always...
how you start?
We're going to be unashamed and unafraid. Today was enough, and we'll get ready for the next challenge that the National Football League presents us. On the injury front, Vance McDonald sustained a concussion. He'll be in the protocol. We'll update you accordingly. And Jalen Samuels had a groin injury of some description.
It's causing us consternation.
Update on those guys on Tuesday, along with some of the other ones like Juju and Connor. Questions?
Yes.
A groin injury of some description.
Coach of the year, boys. Get ready for it.
Groin injury of some description.
That I am not yet privy to.
But as I like to say.
Such is life, man.
As life feeds you lemons, you make lemonade. It's coming next week.
Andy Reid.
He's tapped, man.
Andy Reid was asked about the equipment bags not showing up until just before the game
yesterday.
Yeah, what
did he say?
You know, I know Allen takes a grunt of this. That's not the probably Allen's had a couple games he's been the equipment man for. So there are other things that got involved. And I just know this. Everybody stayed calm and just it happened. So, I mean, it wasn't a big deal.
No, what? No. I don't think it does.
Know, I've been doing it for a lot of years and one out of how many ever years I've been doing it, you know, it keeps things exciting.
Were you all nervous that it wasn't going to show up?
No, not at all. I think everybody did a good job of getting it back here. We had plenty of time, and we rolled, you know.
How do they not know Saturday night? Take everything off, unpack everything, this year, this year, this year, this year, all laid out, ready to go tomorrow morning.
Depends who's running the ship, man.
How do you not know? You could have driven it up from New Jersey, and it would have been there first thing in the morning.
They probably said, you know what? Hey, guys, it's a 4:30 game. We'll get there early. We'll leave 8 hours before and set up. They got those high school Super Bowls there on Saturday. Well, if that place was clear at midnight, they should have been there at midnight waiting to set up. That's what you do when you're on the road. They go straight to the stadium, and they set up. They lock the locker room, and they have a guard that stands there. You should have known when you got off the plane. You throw the bags on a truck. You have a rider truck sitting there waiting for you. You got all the buses, state cops, Rhode Island State Police, probably with, you know, when they landed at TF Green, probably stayed downtown in Providence. Those guys probably couldn't wait to get out and go to Atwell's Ave. I'll book the reservations. Go get some good Italian food down there. We'll go
and
early.
By the way,
we'll go over early.
When the Mass State Police tweeted out that, sorry, you know, we did give them an escort to the stadium so they could have the equipment, they included Mike Reese. They added Mike Reese in the Mass State Police report about their escort of the equipment to Gillette Stadium. Go back and check it.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Probably has a buddy there.
Maybe.
Probably. Mike's connected.
All right, finally, only one call from the Patriots radio broadcast. Mentioned this penalty earlier.
That is Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, the doctor. French practicing medical doctor on an active NFL roster.
Bonjour.
French-Canadian out of McGill University in Quebec.
I took French 3 years.
Oui.
Je m'appelle Scott.
Second down and 15 for Mahomes and company. With 23.
Je m'appelle Scott.
Very good.
Yep. I'm looking for this tweet.
Mass State Police tweet, Beetle. You'll find it back there. Hold on a second.
Oh, there it is. There it is. At Mike Reese. As much as we wouldn't mind a forfeit for hashtag Pats Nation, but we did escort the delayed Chiefs equipment from Logan to Foxborough. Game time can go on as scheduled. Hashtag go Pats, at Patriots, at Gillette Stadium, and at Mike Reese. There you go.
Sunday.
There are your sounds of Sunday. The fourth and final hour is here.
Good song.
Headlines, 90 seconds. We're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.